Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have another exciting adventure to take with Trey Hudson, who was on the Paracast maybe about 14 months ago. Our special guest co-host this week is Tim Swartz. And in the future, let me give you kind of a heads up here of some shows we have in the waitings. We'll have my old friend Rick Hilberg at the end of June. Kathleen Martin to bring us a UFO abduction update and other stuff. And then we have a book here called Flying Saucer Investigators, which, by the way, I've read part of it already. It's a really terrific book from a guy named Charles Lear. He's a New York playwright, no relation to the other Lear, I think. And he tells about the investigators from the early days of the UFO field. So you learn about Jim Moseley and Gray Barker and Dr. Hynek and Donald Kehoe and the contactees and all that other good stuff. And we're going to have him on next week. Trey is one of our interesting guests. It says here, I'm just reading from everything here, he's had a wide, wide background in the military as a security specialist. I'm not going to give all this because we'll be doing the whole show on it. He's author of a book called The Meadows Project, Explorations into the South's Skinwalker Ranch. Now, Trey, what attracted you to join our paranormal world?
Oh, well, as we talked before, that goes way back, back into the 1970s. I was weaned on, the heyday of, the edge of paranormal broadcasting. I don't know if, some of your listeners or you remember an old show called Kolchak the Night Stalker, which was one of the, one of the precursors to the X-Files. So, I watched that stuff. I watched In Search Of, with Leonard Nimoy, and Argosy magazine had, UFO stories and Bigfoot stories and Argosy, things like that. My dad would bring home books and magazines that had stories about various high strangeness types of accounts in a Bigfoot, UFOs, missing persons, things like that. And I just really found it intriguing. That was during one of the big heydays of the UFO craze. And you started to hear about Bigfoot and some of the big films, the documentaries on Bigfoot started making it to the big screen. So I really, really got hooked on it at a younger age, and I've never lost my interest, even up until this day.
Kolchak the Night Stalker was on the air from 1974 through 1975. Darren McGavin, yes, a really great character actor, was the star. And a show that lasts just a couple of years. It became kind of a cult classic.
Absolutely. And I'm actually one of the geeks that has the entire series on DVD. So, that just, gives you an idea how much I love the show.
Yeah, there was 20 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now they're showing it on MeTV late Saturday nights, if anybody wants to look for it.
MeTV?
MeTV, yeah. You can find it on a lot of cable, and it's on the Dish Network, which I have, and it comes on after, I think, the original Star Trek. You got Sven Gulli, Star Trek, Kolchak.
I'm looking at the actors who are on it. And the range is amazing. All the character actors from the 60s, 70s. Tom Bosley was on it, it says here. Phil Silvers? Good gosh. He goes back to almost to vaudeville. And Richard Kiel, a 7-foot-plus actor that we might remember from the James Bond films as Jaws.
Yeah, and a kind of a cool fact is one of the inspirations for Chris Carter when he started, you know, writing the X-Files, which of course morphed into, you know, the Lone Gunman and Millennium and some of those other wonderful series from the 90s, was in fact Kolchak the Night Stalker. You know, that's where he kind of got the idea of the X-Files, monster of the week, or, you know, where they would, Mulder and Scully would explore, you know, some new paranormal happening every week. That show really has a deep legacy in this particular genre of television.
Too bad it didn't carry on. Anyway, let's persist in your tale of getting connected with this crazy universe.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up that way, and, you know, was always interested in it all the way through high school. You know, I'd read books and articles and things like that, and went off to university and studied psychology at the University of West Georgia, which had the wonderful Bill Roll, Dr. Bill Roll, very well-known parapsychologist on faculty there. So I studied under Bill Roll, and I've since, as recently as this month, reached back out to the faculty there at West Georgia, and I'm starting to talk to some of their parapsychologists, and hopefully we'll be working with them in the future. So, you know, I had this really, you know, rich, you know, background in this stuff, and then doggone it, life got in the way, you know. Life got in the way of living, as it does with so many of us. And so I finally had some time back in about 2008 to kind of get re-involved and re-engaged. Back when local paranormal groups were all the rage, you know, when you had the shows Ghost Hunters and, you know, and all these other shows. And so I got involved with a local paranormal group and ended up kind of inheriting that group. And it's since has morphed into the Anomalous Studies and Observation Group, and we actually go out and look at some of the real weird high strangeness, other than just haunted houses, but, you know, things like you know, missing time, UFOs, cryptids, you know, kind of the whole gambit. So you know, it's made, you know, full circle from, you know, some little kid watching this on TV to a grown adult actually living it.
What part of the country do you do your work in?
Well, we do it mostly in the Southeast. Southeast has a very rich history of this stuff. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but, you know, you hear about, you know, Sasquatch and cryptids up in the Northwest, but the Southeast has just a very rich history. We have a very rich Native American history of high strangeness and folklore, and then, of course, a very, very cool culture of Scots-Irish and some of the mythology that goes along with that.
I take it you know Stan Gordon.
No, not off the top of my head. The name rings a bell.
He works in Western Pennsylvania mostly, doing what you're doing there.
Right. Our paths might have crossed, but I don't recall him right off the top of my head. No, I'm sorry.
So are you in a situation there where people are calling you all the time with strange reports?
You know, actually what we're doing primarily now is there's a location that we discovered through pouring through, you know, folklore and reports and things like that, that we're focusing most of our time on. So we don't take a lot of, you know, hey, call us, come investigate kind of reports. We're mostly focusing our efforts on a few areas of high strangeness, which quite frankly keep us gainfully employed and fully occupied. It's an area a lot like Skinwalker Ranch, so we, you know, have tremendous amounts of material and experiences to sift through.
Can you specifically tell us which state this area is located in?
I will have to ask for your forgiveness on this. I prefer not to, and my reason isn't that I'm being greedy or miserly with this location. It's that I wish to keep this location as secret as possible. Now, there are a few handful of guest researchers, and I could probably name some names, and you would know who they were, that do come out after signing a non-disclosure agreement. But I'm trying to keep this site as pristine as possible. Unfortunately, you know, some of the other sites like, you know, Skinwalker Ranch, Bradshaw, you know, now Blind Frog, and other, you know, haunted locations, once their location becomes public, it is just absolutely inundated with, you know, thrill seekers, you know, maybe people that aren't, you know, true, serious researchers, and it contaminates the effort and the research that other groups are doing. So I just ask for your forgiveness in advance and prefer not to disclose the location. I will tell you, it is south of the Mason-Dixon line, and east of Arizona.
We've got more to come with Trey Hudson. Okay. Our special guest co-host is Tim Swartz. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue with Trey Hudson, a location he is exploring that is not in Arizona. You know, towards southeast U.S., a real large area, but lots of areas there are hotbeds of strange activity.
I know I lived in an area where I always thought things were going on, but I didn't know anything about them. And that was in northwest Alabama, like the Quad Cities, Tuscumbia, Sheffield, Florence, mm-hmm. and Muscle Shoals. Muscle Shoals being, of mm-hmm. course, a very famous location for music lovers because they have a famous set of studios there where a lot of the famous recordings from the 60s and 70s were made. And I remember this forest area, which I passed on the way from my home to the radio station I worked at. And it was pretty strange. I mean, you know, once you felt yourself within the canopy of the forest, traveling along a two-lane road, I'm almost sounding like I'm reporting a psychic experience, but I don't think I was. But I suspect that, from what you tell me, that's the kind of area this would be, right?
Exactly, exactly. The Southeast, as well you know, from you know having worked down here, is littered with, you know, very remote wilderness areas. And, you know, I believe that there are more of these locations of high strangeness throughout the country. And, you know, there are probably some of the people listening to this right now that are probably within 2 or 3 miles of it, you know, these types of locations that don't realize it. You know, you have to get out there and really start looking. But yeah, it's very similar to, you know, the strange, dark, you know, mysterious Gothic forests of the Southeast, like you just described.
Sometimes I wonder, though, when you have areas like this, maybe the activity is happening all the time, but publicity, attention, has people gravitate to start looking, and then there are things to find.
Hey, that's a good point. You know, that's kind of my contention, is there are many, many of these areas in the U.S., that people just have to find them and start really going out there and, A, experiencing them, and hopefully, B, starting to research them.
You know, it's almost like if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody around, does it make a sound? So it's like, you know, are these areas active when there's nobody around, or do they only become active when there's a human presence?
Well, yeah, exactly. Schrodinger's cat, is it alive or dead? And the answer is yes, you know. You know, the classic observer's effect.
But how can you tell? If there's nobody there to experience, it doesn't matter one way or the other. Yeah, you know, we had a guest on, it's been a few months ago, who talked about Marley Woods in Missouri, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. very reminiscent of the areas that you're investigating.
Very much so. I've actually talked to some folks, actually some of your guests I've spoken with, and I thought I had a line on perhaps going to Marley Woods, but, you know, it fell through. But that's, you know, from everything I can gather, that's another one of these very special, unique places where you have just all of these. There's this plethora of high strangeness going on that, you know, you can spend the rest of your life researching and documenting.
John Keel referred to them as like window areas, where mm-hmm. you know, there seems to be a concentration of high weirdness. But, you know, I think that they're, you know, like you, that there's a lot more scattered across the world you know, residents there. You're like, oh, yeah, you know, there's the haunted road and the haunted bridge, and just, you know, really hasn't put two and two together and realized just how much activity is happening at these locations.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I always tell people to do, you know, if they're interested in getting into this kind of research, you know, go and take a look at, you know, the various UFO databases, you know, be it from MUFON or one of the other organizations, and start plotting, you know, where they have concentrations of UFO reports, and then go to like BFRO and start plotting concentrations of Bigfoot sightings, and then go and start, you know, scanning through the folklore and start plotting locations where you have ghost sightings. And when you start seeing a concentration of these three different phenomenologies, bingo, that's where you go and take a look, and you'll probably find something waiting for you there.
So now, how did you first get turned on to the Meadows, or to, you know, to that area?
That's a great question. Kind of like you were talking about, you know, you mentioned the haunted road, you know, that's, you know, locals talk about. That is, you know, I started hearing reports of a haunted road, you know, in this area. And, you know, it was one of those things that people say, that the locals come and say, yeah, don't you go down that road. It, you know, the haints will get you, you know, that kind of thing, you know, kind of a backcountry, folklore-ish kind of thing, you know, almost with a Scots-Irish Gaelic kind of folklore to it. And so, you know, of course, when somebody tells me, don't go to the road, the ghost will get you. Well, where do you think I'm going? You know, I'm, you know, like a duck on a gene bug. I am right there on it. And so we started researching this road and didn't really have a whole lot of activity. But in our base camp, which was several miles away, we had a remarkable UFO sighting. Bob Wilson, who some might know from the show Killing Bigfoot, who's one of my research partners, he had an amazing UFO sighting. And very close to where our base camp was, we decided to start looking in this area since we had this really neat UFO sighting, and found this meadow, this you know, beautiful, picturesque mountain meadow. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous. And we were looking at it for maybe cryptids. You know, we could see the tracks or something moved across it at night. You know, we could see it on our thermals. But it turned out to be something much, much more than that. It turned out to be, you know, I hate to keep, you know, mentioning and referencing Skinwalker Ranch, but folks are familiar with that. So we started having those same kind of phenomena happen with us. UFOs, missing time, cryptids, disembodied voices. You know, UFOs and this whole you know, wide gambit of things actually happening in this location. So we decided to expand our research out a little bit and out to about 5 miles and looking at other remote locations. And we're starting to find activity in these locations too, and things like, once again, disembodied voices, lights in the forest. My team members are now being touched by invisible forces, you know, something grabbing them. So, you know, it's constantly evolving, this phenomenology, and we're hoping to stay ahead of it and kind of roll with it as it presents itself in new and exciting ways.
All right. So at the beginning, you went to this road road with the Heinz, and instead one of your team members had a UFO sighting. All right. So now for a lot of paranormal investigators, that would be it because, you know, I mean, for them, UFOs, that's crazy stuff. Ghost. Hey, you know, ghosts are fine, but UFOs. No, only crazy see UFOs. So, you know, when this guy saw this UFO, you decided that, hey, I'm going to, you know, we're going to run with this.
Right. Exactly. You know, you just hit on something that I think finally, you know, the researchers are starting to back up and take a deep breath and pull their hat out of their self-contained, self-created little boxes and look around and say, whoa, there's more to this than UFOs or ghosts or Bigfoot.
We have to do our break here, and then we'll have more with Trey and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Marriott is suspending all of its operations in Russia. The hotel company is citing restrictions imposed by the U.S., U.K., and EU. Marriott International said in a statement it has come to view that the newly announced restrictions will make it impossible for them to continue to operate or franchise hotels in the Russian market. The company closed its Moscow office and paused the opening of new hotels and all future hotel investment in Russia following the invasion of Ukraine 101 days ago. the baby formula plant that was shuttered after a federal inspection has reopened. The Abbott Nutrition plant in Sturgis, Michigan, had been closed for 5 months after an FDA inspection discovered unsanitary conditions. The factory produced most of the country's supply of powdered Similac and specialty formulas. Its closure led to the national shortage of baby formula. This is USA Radio News. The GOP nominee for Senator of Pennsylvania is the celebrity Dr. Mehmet Oz. His opponent, former hedge fund CEO Dave McCormick, conceded to Oz on Friday. He said it became clear to him that Oz would be the nominee with the recount largely completed. Oz will go on to face Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman in the fall. Fetterman has been off the campaign trail in recent weeks after suffering a stroke. He said on Friday that he almost died and urged people to not ignore doctor's orders. A change in view will mean a change in jobs for a Republican congressman. New York's Chris Jacobs says he will not run for a second term. He broke from his party when he announced that he would support an assault weapons ban. Jacobs told the Buffalo News that the mass shooting in Texas and the racially motivated shooting at a Buffalo grocery store changed his stance. That prompted every elected GOP leader who endorsed his re-election bid to withdraw their support. Jacobs also lost the backing of the Republican and conservative parties in the Empire State. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So you think here, Trey Hudson, that part of the problem here with investigators possibly is the narrow focus. You know, they'll say, okay, UFOs, no Bigfoot, ghosts, forget about it. Is that it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'll give you an example. Some of the things that we've actually encountered and have on film are entities. And I'm just using that as a convenient label. FLIR signatures, man size, 6 foot tall, 24 inches wide, seem to be move around. And if I was a ghost guy, you know, I would look at it and say, well, you know, that's a ghost. You know, if I was a ufologist, I would say, well, those are obviously aliens since there's been UFOs around here. And if I was a cryptid researcher, I'd say, well, that's obviously a cryptid. Well, maybe it's all of the above and none of the above. Just what is it? So, you know, we try to take a very broad, holistic view of these phenomena, and we try to approach it from different aspects. Like, I'll bring some of the best practices from paranormal research into cryptid research or UFO research. I'll take ghost boxes and use them in an area where they're cryptids or vice versa. You know, when you start scratching the surface like that, start stepping out of your comfort zone and stop, you know, not only labeling the phenomena, but, you know, labeling yourself, you know, as a particular type of researcher. I think the phenomena will actually start to become more organic, more holistic, and, in my opinion, a lot more interesting.
So have you had a chance to talk to people who live in that area, maybe, you know, has family that's, you know, lived generations, you know, in that area? And besides the Haunted Road, I mean, have you gotten any other types of stories about the area that, you know, maybe has gone back for decades?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like I said, it's an area that has a lot of history going all the way back to, you know, First Nations kind of stuff. But one thing that comes to mind is if you remember in David Pilates, one of his documentaries, there was, I believe, Jan McAbee, I think that's her name, was talking about seeing a predator-like creature while she was hunting in her deer stand, you know, almost like a pixelated figure. I had a person report in this area while they were hiking on a well-known trail that goes through this this area. They saw a four-legged creature, you know, almost like a large cat, you know, like a mountain lion or something. But it was made of reflective angles, you know, like a disco ball. But the thing would move and undulate, you know, and reflect, you know, like prisms, which is very weird because if you go back and do some research, there was a reporting of a UFO sighting that was described as a floating prism, you know, hanging in the air. So, yeah, there's tons of reports and anecdotal, you know, stories in this area across the spectrum. You know, like I said, you know, not just Bigfoot, not just UFOs, not just ghosts, but, you know, pretty much everything.
So when you first set up in this area, did the activity happen almost immediately, or was it this type of thing where it ebbs and flows, or, you know, it just comes spilling out for your enjoyment right away?
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much happens right away, you know, and mm-hmm. we have, you know, the first time we went out there really in earnest was in July of 19, and we had, you know, missing time, and the guy had odd tracks on his GPS, and we had a large white cryptid type creature watching us, you know, from afar at our campsite, and just orbs, green orbs floating on top of the ridge. You know, and that was our first time out. So I was like, holy smokes, now this is, you know, this is really rocking. Let's, you know, let's continue to go here. And like I said, it morphs. The phenomena has now turned into some of the, what they call the hitchhiker phenomena, where you have the phenomena follow you home. And I've had, you know, some of my team members experience extremely strange stuff at their homes, you know, floating orbs, you know, that are, you know, self-luminescent, strange downloads on their phones, and automobiles stopping, you know, in the middle of nowhere as they get close to home, you know, many hours away. So it's, you know, the phenomena, it seems to be, you know, as we're becoming more in tune with it, and, you know, we're diving into it more in an experiential kind of way, it seems to be actually following us, which is, you know, kind of neat, kind of interesting, but on the other side, a little bit unnerving.
I've heard the hitchhiker effect also described as like a virus. Like, you go to these locations, and it's like you catch something. Like you catch a virus, a paranormal virus, that then goes with you for a while until it expends its energy, you know, from, you know, wherever you are. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that's very accurate. And another thing, you mentioned virus. We've had some of our team members experience, you know, for some pretty serious health ramifications. Now, you know, does, you know, causality, is that bred from, you know, from being there? I don't know. I can't say that it exactly is the reason these folks have gotten sick, but I do know that, you know, since we started investigating this, we've had some of our team members, you know, become very ill, and that we had some serious illnesses, you know, reemerge. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, people need to take that into consideration and be, you know, cognizant of the fact that, you know, this can have negative health effects.
Well, we've had guests on our show who have talked about how they would be at a location that was having paranormal experiences, and say they would write a letter to a family member and send that letter, and that letter would then seem to have an attachment of some kind, a paranormal attachment, that then things start to happen at the recipient of the letter's house. So yeah, it's you know, it's very unusual type of phenomena.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes my wife kind of, she's not real pleased with, you know, some of this research and high strangeness that I, you know, that I go out and do. And unfortunately, some of it's come back with me, but it's, you know, it's real. It happens. It's been documented. And, you know, folks just need to be prepared for that if it does happen, if they go out and, you know, find their own location research.
It has come back with you? Do tell.
Oh, well, I'll give you a couple of examples. For myself personally, I have had objects move. You know, I will take something and I'll give you an example that, you know, happened just literally 2 feet from where I'm sitting right now in my guest cottage on my property is I had a small LED flashlight that I'd placed on a table, and I went to go do something and came back, and the flashlight was gone. Now, of course, I'm like, okay, I dropped it, you know, rolled up under the desk or, you know, whatever. And I searched high and low for this thing. And I went to bed, woke up the next morning. I was staying in the guest house that night, came down, and there was a flashlight back on the table where I had originally put it. You know, so things will disappear and then reappear. I'll give you a very weird instance that happened with one of my team members. She, her job, involves, working at night. So she sleeps during the day. Well, she usually sleeps with her cell phone, you know, probably 2 or 3 feet from her head as she, you know, rests during the day. And she, woke up, getting ready for her shift, looked at her cell phone and saw a message. I'm sorry, not a message. I was looking through some photographs. And on her cell phone was the photograph of a field. Now, not the field that we're researching, but a pasture with power lines over it. And she's like, okay, I didn't take this photograph. I don't know how it got into my gallery. I didn't download it and save it. And she reached out to us and said, you know, does this look, you know, familiar? You know, what does this mean? And so she sent it to me, and I tried to download some metadata from it, and it was nothing was there. And it turns out that the photograph was from a real estate listing for a piece of land that was for sale in her area, in her location. But she has no interest in buying land. She's never been to this. She's never looked at this particular real estate website. But somehow there was something special about this photograph that got loaded and down. And planted onto her phone while the phone was, you know, like 3 feet away from her head while she slept.
Let's break now. We'll continue with Trey and Jean and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com, that's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com, or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, you've got an interesting story there, and you started to tell Trey. Please continue.
It got really strange because she had no idea how this, this image showed up on her phone. She's also the same individual that had her car completely die, her brand new automobile. Lose all power, when she was about 45 minutes from her home, which is several hours away from our research site. So, you start thinking back, where have we heard about vehicles just dying in the middle of dark roads? Well, that's pretty common in UFO lore, and, experiencers will oftentimes have the electronics in their automobiles completely die. She's also experienced, nightmares of creatures coming into her room and standing over her and watching her while she sleeps and things like that. So my next step is I'm trying to arrange with some psychologists to possibly do some hypnotic regression and see if we can puncture some of these screen memories and see if there's something really amazing and phenomenal lying behind what appears to be our memories on the surface.
The photograph showing up on her phone, that would almost make me want to go out to that place and maybe stake it out for a while with some equipment just to see if maybe you were being sent a hit. Check this place out. Weird stuff here.
that's what we wondered. Is it something is trying to tell her, go to this location? Is something special about this location? Is she supposed to have an encounter or meet a entity or, a vessel or craft at this location? Unfortunately, the logistics of getting our team together, which I think we're spread out among 4 states, just did not lend itself to us going out there. So, it's one of those things that, we'll just chalk it up to something really weird. And hopefully something will manifest a little bit closer to home where we can get together and investigate it.
Some of the things that you mentioned earlier, you said that there was a white cryptid and somebody who experienced some lost time. Could you provide some details on those experiences? They sound fascinating, especially the cryptid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've had several cryptid encounters, and I'll start off with one of the first ones is when we started looking at the meadow, really in earnest, really, drilling down into it. I had some researchers come from the Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama, and other states. And I had some of the newer folks that hadn't been to this area out, with me, and I'm giving them a briefing, this is, the meadow. This is, this is the confines. This is how I think we're going to approach our research, this evening. And I had one researcher taking photographs as I was doing this briefing. And so, lo and behold, the next year, as he was going through his photographs, In the background, there appears to be a cryptid-type creature watching us from afar. And that particular location where the cryptid is becomes important later on. Next cryptid thing is we were doing some research, and I can't remember if I sent you the photograph or not, but it was a large outline of a large creature, you know, no neck, head, broad shoulders. Except the weird thing is this figure was captured on FLIR, and it was colder than its surroundings, not warmer like you would expect for a mammal. So then you start turning that page, and it's like you start looking at some of the aspects that some of the cryptid researchers are looking at is Bigfoot or, you know, Sasquatch always flesh and blood, or does it, you know, wink in and out of existence? You know, is it from another universe or dimension or whatever you want to call it? Is it, you know, vectoring in and out of our reality? And, you know, were we catching this cold spot, which was a cryptid shape, as it was vectoring in and out of our dimension? So that's a really weird aspect. The third type we've encountered, you know, cryptid type stuff was the white figure, like I talked about. The folklore of this area has legends of a white Sasquatch type creature. And one of my team members got up in the middle of the night to take care of some biological business. And he noticed a large white hulking type figure watching our campsite from behind a tree. This was about 0200 hours, you know, 2 a.m. And so he went to wake up one of our other researchers to get her FLIR to see if we could see this thing. And of course, by the time he got over to her tent, got her up and got back over there, it was gone. The next day, we went to the area where he saw it. Now, many of my team members are trained trackers. You know, we've been trained in how to track, you know, people and animals, you know, through various types of environment. And we could find no physical indication that something was there. There was no, you know, compressed vegetation. There was no scuff marks on the tree. You know, there were no disturbed earth, anything like that. So it's almost like what he saw was watching us, but by some weird, you know, reason that it didn't leave any physical evidence, you know, where it didn't interact with the environment, which, you know, you go back to looking at our strange low temperature entity, you know, Sasquatch type entity. It makes you wonder if these things aren't just on the edge of our reality, and maybe in that state they don't interact with the environment and they don't affect the environment that we can detect.
All right. Now, you may find this interesting. We had on a few weeks ago a couple of guests talking about a documentary called A Terror in the Sky that they had worked on. And one of these guys was named Dave Mason, who electronics expert, photography, videography, you know, just really well versed. And he had captured some UFO footage near Catalina Island. Mm-hmm. The odd thing was that the UFO that he captured was a lot colder than the mm-hmm. environment around him. In fact, gosh, I can't remember exactly what he says, but like below zero colder. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like your cryptid creature. It was dark using a FLIR camera.
Yeah, which is actually kind of cool because David Altman, who I think was on your show too, with Mr. Right. Mason, David and I have talked and discussed some of the similarities and some of the things that, you know, we've seen. You know, they captured the proverbial tear in the sky on their FLIR. We captured, you know, what appeared to be a disturbance, you know, in reality or in this dimension, if you want to say, and we just call it a portal because that's just a kind of an easy word. Where we had some of our team members actually, you know, were opaque. You know, their heat signatures disappeared when they approached this anomaly. So, you know, there's some really neat stuff out there with private researchers stepping outside of their comfort zone using technology. And I'm starting to see a lot of similarities as I reach out and I am contacted by other individuals that they're experiencing the similar phenomenology, you know, albeit maybe in a different way in the sky versus on the ground. But, you know, this is just really a neat, amazing fabulous time to be involved in this kind of research.
Now, there are a lot of people like you around the country, around the world. Lone wolves, people with small groups, etc. Any efforts being made to coordinate all this stuff?
There are some. You know, we're starting to talk, a little bit more. And everybody is, unfortunately, this business breeds paranoia because some people just, they've been burned before by others. So people tend to be a little bit more, and I'm not going to say secretive, that's too strong of a word, but a little cautious. But I have, I've talked to some amazing people, Katie Grabowski, from Colorado. She was, involved with the famous Colorado ranch case, and she has shared some of her notes with me. Same kind of stuff. I've talked to David Altman, and I've talked to many, many other people, and we're starting to share some of our, some of our experiences, and we're finding, commonalities, portals, that are visible on FLIR. Boxes or cubes seem to be, a very strange, commonality. And I don't know what that is, but, you Skinwalker Ranch has had boxes or cubes. We've had boxes or cubes. Katie's, place in Colorado have boxes and cubes. So we're starting to see some similarities now, putting those together and determining what exactly that means. That's the trick, and will we ever find out what it actually means? Maybe not. But it's awfully fun trying.
I want to ask you more in our next segment about the boxes and about the cubes. Okay, so we'll get that. We've got Trey Hudson joining us this week, exploring the entire world of the paranormal, high strangeness. Tim Swartz is our special guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCN Tax Cut. That's GCN, taxcut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.